Hey, everybody, it's Pastor Will. Welcome or welcome back to the Brazos Fellowship Podcast. Thank you for listening today. And at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast if you aren't already. But more importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy. Today, as we talk about this miracle in particular, I want to talk to you about this miracle from the standpoint of it is going to be a story of overcoming an obstacle, a closed door, a roadblock. I bet some of you are familiar with that in your life. If you are not familiar with dealing with obstacles and roadblocks and closed doors, it's simply because you haven't been alive for very long. Because if you have been alive for any length of time, you have had to deal with these things. And I bet some of you would say, I'm dealing with three or four right now. I'm dealing with a whole bunch of them. I have issues. I don't even know how to get around them. I've tried everything I know to do, Will. And that's exactly where we're going to find those in this account that we're going to look at today that find themselves in that kind of a situation. What do you do when you're in that crossroads, at that moment? Because that's the moment that decides whether this goes on to be a sad story that you don't ever want to tell because it has a terrible ending. It's tragic. It was a dream that died. It never came back. It never worked. It never will happen. It's over. It's done. Or becoming an incredible story of how God helped you to overcome when there was massive obstacles, massive opposition, but God made a way. But it requires some key things from us, some things that are not easy and that are rare. Very few people are willing to give towards it. So today it's going to be a challenge to you and I to be willing to take some steps that maybe you haven't been willing to take or that are definitely going to force us out of our comfort zone a little bit. So as we dive into this passage today, I want you just to be open to say, God, wherever it is that you want me to take the next step, I'm willing. I'm at least willing to be willing, okay? Maybe you're not completely willing, but you're at least willing to. I trust that whatever God wants next is probably better than what I have done so far. So I'm willing to trust that maybe I need to take that step. So without further ado, I want us to dive into this next miracle. It's actually miracle number 8 for us. It's going to be found in Mark chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 1 in Mark chapter 2. And here's how it begins. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back. Let's say it together, back. Home. This was his home base. This is what Jesus called home, at least for a while. It was his home base of operations for his ministry. But he came back to Capernaum. And if some of you will remember, Capernaum was located at the direct north point of the Sea of Galilee. There it is, right there, Sea of Galilee. And he had just finished a preaching tour of the Galilean area. And the way we understand it is that he preached at synagogues all the way around the perimeter of the Sea of Galilee. Last week, we talked about the man with leprosy that was healed. That happened somewhere around the perimeter of the Sea of Galilee. Right before he left was when he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And now he is back in Capernaum. Now, as much as I would love, like my favorite, absolute, and I was thinking like, what would be the optimal, most amazing, impactful way to give this message to you today about this miracle that happens at Capernaum, is that if I just would fly all of you, we would all go together to Capernaum this morning, and we would just sit there in Capernaum. But I realize that's pretty cost prohibitive. That's pretty expensive. I don't know if you've checked the flights to Capernaum, but it's not cheap. It is a lot of us. So what I thought I would do is bring Capernaum to us, okay? So we're going to have kind of a drone flyover of what Capernaum looks like. If we were there this morning, here it is, flying over. This is the synagogue. This was the place where Jesus preached. This is the place where he cast out demons. He preached many times there. And as you see, just a couple blocks away, this round structure here, this is an observatory that's actually built over the top of Peter's home. This is what was, I mean, undisputed by archaeologists and historians that this is where Peter lived with his brother Andrew, his wife, his mother-in-law, James and John, his good buddies, who were also fishermen, also came over quite often. As a matter of fact, when that time when he heals Peter's mother-in-law, they're having dinner over there at the house, just a couple blocks away. Jesus hung out over there all the time. He would talk to these men. He would laugh with them. He shared meals with them. At that geographic location, I can take you. We can look in there and see right where that happened. Isn't that amazing? That we have places like that on planet Earth, that this story I'm about to tell you, this is probably where it happened. We're not told exactly whose home, what house it was, but we can probably ascertain with some certainty that it was probably Peter's house because they were so close and he was over there all the time and he taught quite a bit. So this is where he was, just a couple blocks away, and you can see how close he was to the water's edge. As a fisherman, that would be easy access. Get up early, do your fishing, take care of it. You can be back home quickly. This was just made sense that he would live right there. The verse talks about he has come home to Capernaum, and here's what we see happening next in verse 2. It says, so soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. I mean, they're spilled out all over the street. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. So these guys in this makeshift stretcher show up with their buddy, four guys carrying their paralyzed buddy, and they're obviously have come because they heard Jesus was there, and they're trying to get into Jesus. So what happens next? Let's take a look next. Verse 4 tells us this. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the, let's say it together, the crowd. Now, there were lots of obstacles that these guys probably had to get over that day, but this was the biggest one. The biggest one they couldn't get past was the crowd. There were so many people, and here they were, four guys with their fifth guy on a stretcher. How do we get into Jesus? You can't get another body in that house. How are we going to get to him? And then the story goes on to tell us this. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head, him being Jesus, his head, then lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Now, I want you to just notice something right here. That we could have stopped the story. The story could have ended right here at the word crowd. That they tried to bring him to Jesus, but they couldn't because of the crowd. They looked at their buddy and said, sorry, buddy, you're just not going to see Jesus today. We're taking you back to the house, okay? This is just, there's no way out. There's no way in. There's no way we could get you to Jesus. But they didn't stop there. They had to think in a very non-conventional way. Now, these houses many times would have a small, very narrow staircase that would be built on one of the outside walls going up onto the roof. Very narrow. Not wide enough so that two men carrying a stretcher could carry a guy up onto the roof. They would have had to have figured out some way to get him up there on the roof. And then they dig down through the roof, pulling the panels back to lower him so that Jesus could see the man. Now, here's what's interesting. And you would imagine at this point, Jesus is watching, I mean, debris and stuff is falling down out of the ceiling. It's making a complete mess. I'm sure he's like looking at Peter going, dude, sorry about your house, okay? This is terrible. Like, maybe even scold the guy. Are you kidding me right now? This is my good friend Peter's house. We hardly have any money in the ministry budget as it is. Now we're going to have to buy him a new roof. Are you kidding? We can't afford this. This is ridiculous. You're destroying private property. He didn't do any of that. Here's what he does next. In front of Jesus, it says, seeing their faith. Seeing their faith. Jesus sees these guys do the most non-conventional, unconventional, untraditional way to get into a house, go up on the roof and dig a hole through, and he sees a picture of faith. Look at the faith on these guys. Look at what they're doing. Oh my gosh. Jesus looks at this and he says, this is a beautiful picture of faith. Let's talk about what Jesus saw in this picture. What did faith, how was it defined, and how was it exemplified in this moment where Jesus winds up in a minute commending these guys and not reprimanding them? First of all, faith works. Faith works really hard. Faith works really hard in a very selfless way. We don't know how far, it doesn't tell us, that they started carrying this friend of theirs. But we can't assume that it's been quite a ways. And I don't know when it was the last time that you carried around a full-grown man with you through town. That's a lot of work. I don't care who you are, what you have to work with. That is a lot of work. They may have walked miles. The nearest town, Gennesaret, was about 3 miles away. He had done miracles over there. Maybe they heard. They walked over. Can you imagine carrying something? 3 miles, you're like, ah, I can run 3 miles. Could you do it carrying a man? Okay. That's a lot of work. They had to be incredibly hardworking men to pull off what they did. And what's interesting here is that I have seen this demonstrated over and over in the lives of people that I have met. Some of the people that have relationship with Jesus that have some of the greatest faith, some of the people with the greatest faith are the people who do the hardest work. I've seen this over and over. They are willing to do what very few other people are willing to do. They are willing to push and give more and do more and sacrifice more than very few are willing to do. And that, my friends, is what faith looks like. They're willing to give, and they give selflessly. And Jesus commends that kind of faith. Wow, look at that. That's amazing. Not only does it work hard, but it also persists. It persists. Over in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verse 18, telling the exact same story, Luke tells his perspective. He uses a verb that says that they kept on trying. They repeatedly tried to go into the house. They tried everything they knew to do. It was this verb that says that they did not give up easy. They tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. And then they came up with a whole nother approach, a whole nother idea. As if to say, these men were saying, this is incredibly inconvenient, but we're not going to let our inconvenience become another obstacle to keeping our buddy from Jesus. We're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to do whatever it takes. Let me ask you this. Those of you who are followers of Jesus today, has there been somebody in your life that maybe you've been praying for some time, you would love to see them be introduced to Jesus? You would love to see them to have an experience like you have had with Jesus. But it is A, taken a long time and you feel like giving up, or you have given up. Or B, it's a whole lot of work and you've invited, and they've said no and no and no, and you're like, I'm done, man. I checked it. I did as many invites as I can do. I'm done. I'm so glad these guys didn't give up like that. And I'm so glad that whoever it was that was responsible for inviting you and loving you and bringing you didn't give up that easy. They didn't give up. They persisted. They persisted. And finally, faith overcomes. Faith overcomes. And I love this. Finally, them cutting a hole in the roof, pulling back the panels, lowering their buddy. Jesus didn't scold them. He commended them. He rewarded them. He blessed their labors because of the hard work and their willingness to think unconventionally, out of the box, something totally fresh, totally new. I'm sure some people were saying, you guys are crazy. What are you doing? That will never work. Jesus is going to be so mad at you. The whole thing's going to backfire in your face. But just the opposite happened. Let me tell you a story where that has happened for us here at Brazos Fellowship. We've been going, as of right now, for about 13 years as a church. But back in the early days, in the summertime, it just like every church here in town, there's always this massive drop in attendance. Every summer, right? The summer doldrums, it hits every business kind of sees a drop. Restaurant hours tend to change and movie time, all this stuff tends to drop. Everything kind of comes back up when school starts again. You know what I'm talking about? And I had people tell me this. Okay, well, you're in a college town. That's just the way it is, man. You just need to accept it and forget about it, you know, and just go roll with the punches and hopefully pray like crazy they'll all come back in the fall. And I certainly did that many years. But there was this sense of, I don't feel like that should be our approach. Like, we should just sort of give up in the summer and not even try. Well, as many of you have heard, even this morning through our announcements, we're starting something this next weekend that we've been doing for a number of years called At the Movies, where, again, it's been explained to you, but this idea where we take a movie, we use it as a parable to teach a life-changing truth, biblical truth. And here's how I know that they're life-changing, because every time we do it, people's lives change. Every time we do it, we see lost people find Jesus for the very first time. It is insane how God has used this. Now, you may be wondering, now, how did y'all ever start doing it? What got you the idea that this was a good idea? And we had already been incorporating some videos into our services from time to time for illustrations and different kind of reference points and different things, but we had never really thought about doing an entire, taking a narrative out of a movie. We heard about this church up in Oklahoma, contacted them where they were doing it. We learned from them, asked lots of questions, got information from them, and then we thought, okay, let's just take a step of faith. People may not even understand this. It may completely go sideways, but we're going to try it. And we did our very first at the movies. And people were like, not sure what to think at first, but then they began to invite their friends. It took a year or two for things to begin to catch on, but every year it has grown. And it's been amazing to see how people have invited their friends. And now, many of you know, if you come to at the movies starting next Sunday, man, it's going to be movie popcorn, not like cheap microwave, you know, like good movie popcorn, sodas, big glass cases, you pick out what you want. It is our invitation, rolling out the welcome mat to the entire community to say, hey, come on and watch a movie with us for a little bit. And just see if it doesn't change your life. And it's amazing to see how it has. And this year will be our eighth year to do at the movies. Last summer, ladies and gentlemen, we had over 6,400 people come through our doors to be a part of at the movies. This is something that God has shown us. You don't have to just sit back and say, oh, well, that's just the way it is. There's nothing we can really do about that in a college town in the middle of the summer. It has become one of the highest attended things that we do throughout the entire year. But it started with a risky step of faith of going, okay, this is really non-conventional. This is really out of the box. This is really, we don't know how people are going to take this. But man, has God blessed it. It has become an amazing outreach for us. And I hope by telling you all of that, that you will invite somebody with you next weekend to at the movies. It's going to be going on for the next 4 weeks. And again, it is an incredibly easy way to invite somebody to come with you to church. But here's the thing that we have learned through all of that. Sometimes God says, I want you to get up on the roof and dig a hole. I want you to try something totally different. Maybe you've heard this old saying that says, sometimes when God closes a door, you know, look for a window. What we've learned at here in Brazos Fellowship at College Station is sometimes when God closes a door, you may need to get up on the roof and dig a hole through the roof, okay? Now, that sounds crazy to other people. And we tell the church, you're like, what? Does that even work? You won't even believe how good it works. It's amazing. We have people throughout the entire year that say, my first time to come to this place was at the movies. Somebody invited me from work. Somebody invited from my neighborhood and my family. Somebody, a friend of mine. And I thought, that sounds crazy, but I'll come check it out. And I was amazed. It changed my life. And I've heard that story over and over and over again. And it might be today that you have hit a closed door, an obstacle, a crowd, if you will, and you thought, there's no way around this. And maybe it is today God's saying, let this story inspire you to think in an unconventional way. What is a whole new approach to that relationship, to inviting that person to church, to your marriage, with your kids, with your parents, with this estranged friend or family member that you've never tried before? Something totally different. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about trying something innovative. God is all about creative and about trying something new. Just look around at creation. Look how creative He is. Look at all the incredible array of beauty and just intricacy of God. He is all about trying and showing beauty. And it's time for us to maybe think a little differently and say, God, maybe instead of give up, you're wanting me to think, how do I go to the next level? How do I allow you to show me what that next step looks like? And that's exactly what these guys did. That Jesus showed them, this is good. This is faith. He saw their faith. Verse 5 says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. I love this. As a loving father, he looks at this paralyzed guy and he says, before I'm going to heal your physical paralysis, I'm going to deal with the deepest issue in your life, your spiritual paralysis. You're paralyzed spiritually. You don't know me. You need forgiveness. For that to happen, you need forgiveness. I'm going to give you the one thing that you can't get from anybody except for me. I'm going to give you the one thing that will begin healing and restoring you. Everything that sin has done to you, I'm going to begin to bring back to you. And it's going to start with this single statement. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. That might be where you are today spiritually. You're saying, I'm spiritually paralyzed. I don't know where to go or what's the next step with God. And I'm telling you, in just a minute, we're going to have an opportunity where you can ask for the same kinds of forgiveness, to receive that forgiveness in your life. But this is what he does for this man. And what's interesting is the response of some of the religious people that are present. In verse 6, we're told this. It says, but some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. See, the sin of blasphemy was claiming to be God or claiming to do something that only God can do. Like I'm trying to take God's job, in other words. And here's the interesting thing. These teachers of religious law got it right. Their estimation of what Jesus was doing was absolutely 100% correct. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. But what their pride would not allow them to do is to see that Jesus, in fact, was God. That's why he was able to do what he said. And what's interesting here is that Jesus completely hears the thoughts that are going on between their ears. In verse 8, this is what Jesus says. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. He knows what we think. He knew what they were thinking. It wasn't like he was good at reading body language. He knew exactly what was going on in their mind. He always knows what's going on in our mind. And it goes on to say, so he asked them a question. Why do you question this in your heart? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand and pick up your mat and walk? Now notice he says, is it easier to say such a thing to a paralyzed man, not to do this for a paralyzed man? Because it is much harder to, in terms of doing, to forgive someone's sin than to heal what ails them. But what is it easier just to say to a paralyzed man, get up, pick up your mat and walk, or tell you, you're forgiven? So in other words, Jesus is saying, I'm about to put what you're putting me on trial here. You're saying, I'm really not divine when I'm claiming to be, so we're going to put it on trial. He goes on to say, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. So what's going to happen next, guys, is going to determine either I'm divine or I'm not. Either I'm committing the sin of blasphemy against God, or I am not. And whatever happens next, you are without excuse. You have to make a decision about me. And what happens next is amazing. Nothing short of a miracle. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. I love how they say that. Everybody's just like, oh, yeah, sure, go ahead. Yeah, what? They're blown away. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. And that happens over and over when they come to see Jesus. Never seen anything like this before. That's why we continue to come to Jesus over and over. Never seen anything like this before. Never felt anything like this before. I've never experienced anything like this before. I've never been. He's the one that wants to give you the life that you've never had before, that you've never experienced before. You can't have it without him. You got to keep coming to him. You got to stay close to him. But I love this incredible moment right here. Not only the exhilaration and celebration of this man who was paralyzed, who now can walk, and is walking out of there, I'm sure, doing a little woohoo jig, you know, like, I can walk and dance. This is amazing. But think about his four friends who put in all of the work, the selfless time, the persistence, and they're now in this moment after digging a hole through the roof. They hit the roadblock of the house was blocked. No more people can get in. Now they got to get at the stretcher on the roof. That's another roadblock. They finally got up there. Now we got to dig through the roof. There's another roadblock. They got through all of those things, just being persistent and working hard, and now their faith They're seeing it overcome with the power of God through Jesus. Think about how happy, high-fiving, yeah, I knew it. If we could finally get him to Jesus, everything would change. I knew it. I knew Jesus would come through. I knew it. I'm so glad we didn't give up. I'm so glad that's not our story, that we kept going and we didn't give up. I love it. This miracle, ladies and gentlemen, is a picture of two things. Not only is it a picture of our faith, as we've seen, but it also is a picture of how every single one of us comes to Jesus for salvation. That we come, like this paralyzed man, utterly helpless. We cannot get there by ourselves. And Jesus has had to move every obstacle, move heaven and earth, to move everything with at the sacrifice of him personally, giving his life on the cross so that we can know God. But we come utterly helpless. The Apostle Paul writes about this when he comes to writing his letter to the church in Rome, chapter 5, verse 6. He says this. Would you read these highlighted words with me? When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for who? For us sinners. You have to be willing to admit that. I've sinned. I've blown it. And I need forgiveness. And I am stuck in this paralysis that will not change until Jesus sets me free. And today, there are some of you sitting here that say, that exactly describes where I am. And I need him so bad. And we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ in just a moment. But I want to just say this to those of you who are believers this morning, to challenge you to get outside of yourself and to be as selfless as these four friends, to say, I'm not going to let my inconvenience personally get in the way of bringing one of my friends to Jesus starting next week. It might take you all 4 weeks before they come. Just start inviting them. Just start inviting them. And here's the question. Who do you know that God wants you to let down through the roof next Sunday? Now, let me just say, I'm using a metaphor here. I don't want you to actually tear up. There'll be plenty of room to come through the front doors next Sunday. But this coming through the roof was an illustration of an unconventional approach to Jesus. At the movies for us is a very unconventional approach. We're starting it next weekend. There are going to be some people that totally misunderstand what we're doing. They're going to totally misjudge what we're doing. But there are others who will find life in the place of spiritual death. There will be people who will find Jesus that have been looking for him their whole life. It happens every year. It's beautiful. You be a part of that. I want to challenge, if you're a believer today, be selfless enough to say, I can invite some people. I can bring people with me. My goodness, it's a movie with free Coke and popcorn. How easy is that to invite people to? They don't have to pay anything. They just show up. It's amazing. And I'm telling you, it's brilliant how over and over we see people who come and come back and come back. And then long after At the Movies is done, I hear people saying, you know, I love this place, but I would have never come if y'all hadn't done At the Movies. Thank you for doing that. I want to just encourage you. Let that be a catalyst for you inviting your friends. Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in the Brazos Valley, we would love for you to engage with us at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, visit us at brazosfellowship.com. That's brazosfellowship.com.